Chapter number two, great to hear about jail ministry. I know we have a jail ministry that I go into up at our church every other week, and I always enjoy it. I tell the guys in there, I tell them, of course, different guys each time, sometimes church members, but I tell them each time, I say, I deserve to be in here just as much as you. We all deserve to be in jail. And certainly you know spiritually what that means, but thank God for forgiveness is found in the blood of Jesus Christ, amen? The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. A familiar story in the Bible, certainly we all have either heard about, and certainly I hope that if you've been saved very long, you've read it in the Bible, Jesus' first miracle. Now kids, what was Jesus' first miracle? What was the first miracle of Jesus? Turning the water into wine. And we're going to look at this story in the Bible tonight. I don't know that, I don't know that tonight is going to be so much preaching as maybe last night was, but tonight might be just a little more. I'm certainly surrendered and want to be. You pray for me that I'll just be yielded to the Holy Ghost. I believe tonight will be a little bit of maybe more teaching mingled with preaching, maybe vice versa, but we're just going to try to yield to the Lord. You see, preacher, why do you say try? Because I'm flesh. I'm just a man, and goodness, I'm telling you, God help me that I will do the will of God, and we all need to want that. Amen? Every moment, every minute of our lives, that's the struggle, isn't it? That's the battle, that's the war that we are engaged in. Praise the Lord, sure good to see the Ferraris. I'll never forget Brother Ferrari calling me last year. I don't remember when it was, maybe it was around January or something. And he called and wanted to come. And I said, well, I've got a missions conference. I had a missionary cancel. And I said, why don't you come? And he said, well, I don't know. I haven't really officially started deputation. I don't have my video. And you remember that, brother? I said, man, listen. I said, I've got a missions conference. If you come, I'm going to support you. If you don't, forget it, I don't know that I was that blunt, but it wouldn't be the first time I was that blunt, but man, we were so glad to have the Ferraris with us, and we as a church, the very week they were with us, voted unanimously to take them on for support, and we are just thrilled and honored to be part of the Ferrari family and to be part of what they're going to do. I'm thrilled as well about what they're going to do because of, as he indicated, being able to go and work with the Gansmers. Our church supports the Gansmers as well, and I'll tell you, I love the whole idea of missionaries helping missionaries. Bible Baptist Church, we support 54 missionaries. We have a monthly budget of $6,000 a month, and I'll tell you, it grieves my heart that this year, just this year, we've had three missionaries, two of which we've had to take off of our missions budget because of things that have happened in their lives, and where Satan has sifted them, and we've got to pray for these missionaries. There's such a bombardment of attack upon them, church. We've got to hold them up in prayer. I wrote letters to both of these missionaries, and not letters of, how dare you, and how could you let this happen, and why did you, not like that, but to just let them know that we love them, and that we're praying for them, and that we're so sorry that it's what's happened, Satan, he's running to and fro still. Come on. He's still running to and fro. And church, we've got to give to send them. It's missions conference time. We've got to give to send them. We've got to give to send them. You say, well, the fellow that has the six-figure job, he's got to give. No, we have got to give to send them. We've got to give to send them. And we've got to pray to keep them there. Got to pray to keep them there. It's so important, amen. We had Dr. Bob Smith last year for our missions conference. Dr. Smith pastored down at Trinity Baptist in Arlington, Texas for many, many years. How many of you know who Dr. Smith is? I know Brother, great, sweet old man of God, and we had him last year. And he gave us six things to pray for missionaries about. Pray for their power. Pray for their peace. Pray for their protection. Pray for their provision. Pray for their... I've forgotten them. Isn't that awful? I had them right on the tip of my tongue when I was starting to tell you about it. But there's enough right there to pray about. Amen? Pray for their peace, their protection, their provision, the power of God upon their life. Man, that's enough right there. We need to pray for them. This story in the Bible, I really struggled with whether this was what God wanted me to preach tonight. And not so much that I was unsure or uncertain, I'll be honest with you. I just felt like, Lord, maybe there's something a little more complex that I could give. You know, something, you know, maybe that my pride maybe wanted me to give something a little more profound, you know. And nothing profound here that's coming from me. But there's certainly a great deal of profundity coming from the Word of God if we'll listen. Amen. And profound things from the Bible. You know what? Isn't it true that it's the simple things sometimes that we miss? Isn't it? It's the simplicity of the truths of the Word of God that sometimes we fail to see. I want us to look at this story, chapter 2, verse 1. And I want to say with all my heart, thank you so much for being here. I know I keep interrupting myself, but I just want to say thank you for being here tonight. And we preachers, we say that. I know your pastor says that, but please know that never do we take it for granted. We just don't. You know, there have been times, and I know your pastor, he used to work a real job. It took a while. I tell my church people that, and my kids get so upset with me, especially my daughter, Becca. She's 19 and at Grace Baptist College. She gets up. She said, Dad, why do you say that? Being a pastor is a more real job than the jobs you used to work. And she goes on and on about it, you know, and it's just a joke. But certainly your pastor knows what it's like to work a good, long, hard day and get to church. And he knows what that's like. He's done that and lived that. And I remember being in the youth ministry as a youth pastor, Brother Donald. And I'd work a 50-hour work week roofing houses and be a full-time youth pastor. I remember cutting my teeth in the ministry, roofing houses 50 hours a week, and then doing everything that a youth pastor does or is supposed to do. And church, I just want to say that I appreciate you being here tonight, and God bless you. I want to say to the ladies that have been making the food, my, I'll tell you, you're my heroines. You are just, you're wonderful, and the only bad thing about it, my only complaint is that... I wish maybe that it was left out after the service or something, because I just can't eat as much as I'd like to. I said something last night about something that might happen if I ate too much, and I won't say what I said. You know how it is when your wife's not with you, you sometimes just forget yourself, you know? And I never would have said such a thing, you know, if my wife had been sitting there, because I know I would have gotten an elbow or something. But I thank God for my good wife. She brings out the best in me and tends to make me look a whole lot better than what I look otherwise. But she's been a faithful woman to me for 25 years. I took her to Hawaii for our 25th wedding anniversary. Ladies, ain't I a good guy? Huh? Yeah? I mean, I took her. She told me 2 years ago, she said, honey, I want to go to Hawaii for our 25th. I said, well, honey, I said, her name's Julie. I call her Jewel. I said, Jewel, I don't know if we can do that. I said, I don't know if, if we can afford that. And in her sweet, wonderfully, godly submitted way, she said, well, I'll tell you right now, I'm going whether you go or not. What do you think of that, ladies? So I said, well, I better get it planned. But thank the Lord for a good woman. And she's sure been I've taken her through a lot. And she's been faithful to me and faithful to the Lord all these years. And she's my best friend beside Jesus and just a wonderful mother. We thank the Lord for our five children and our daughter-in-law and our... I told you about my little grandbaby, right? Would you like to see a picture of her? Her name's Brooklyn. She's just the most beautiful thing that has ever been on the face of the earth, I'm telling you. John chapter 2. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, "They have no wine." Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." His mother saith unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you," now say this with me, church, "do it." How many of us need the Greek on those two words? Anybody need a Greek lexicon there? No, I think we pretty clearly understand what those two words mean, don't we? Do it. Do it. I remember growing up, and I told you a couple things about my dad and brother Ken, he and I were fellowshipping last night, and I said to him, I said, "Brother, it sounds like your dad and my dad went to the same school of hard knocks, you know." And I remember my dad telling me to do things. And I reached that age, you know, where I would say, "Well, Dad, why?" You know, how many of your kids did that? And of course, today society tells us we must sit down and reason with our children. And we've got to help them understand the whys and the wherefores and all the reasons why. And they need to understand. And it's important that we help affirm all of their doubts and their concerns and their fears. And here was my dad's solution to that. "Because I told you, boy, get at it." Now, my dad didn't hit me in the face and do all that stuff. But, you know, if I would say, "Well, Dad, why?" And boom, right on the bottom end. And my dad was a fireman. And unfortunately, when he left the fire department and went into the ministry, he kept his fireman belt. That's all I'll say right there, okay? But didn't work very good on Darren. But do it! That's my simple message to you tonight. Do it. "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Now, what is he saying to do in the context? What I want to do is I want to take this story and I want to take what Jesus' mother said, and I want to take what Jesus said to the servants, and I want to take the servants and I want to parallel these things and apply these to missions and apply these to giving and apply these to our lives tonight in the time that we have. And so, first of all, I'd like us to look at what Mary says. Now, I don't think I need to establish here or spend too much time on the whole issue of Jesus' mother Mary. Mary was a sinner who needed a redeemer. There's nothing more significant about her than what the Bible gives to her in significance, and that is that she was a virgin. She wasn't some young maiden. She was a virgin. She'd never known a man. And number two, she was highly favored. Amen. So that's her significance. And number three, she was the vessel by which God chose to bring his son into the world. Those are the significance of Mary. But nonetheless, Mary was a sinner who needed a redeemer. Say amen right there. Beyond that, nothing special about her in that she didn't need to be saved, because she needed to be saved just like everyone else. I think we all already know that and understand that, but I could not hardly pass over that thought without saying that. Amen. It's important that it be said. But let's look at what Mary says first of all, and let's see here. And I know there's so much in the story. There's so much that can be drawn out. And might I say here, first of all, in verse number 4, when Jesus says what he says to his mother, let's please not make the mistake of presuming that Jesus was being harsh, unkind, or disrespectful to his mother. That absolutely is not the case. Amen? Certainly just knowing that Jesus Christ is God, knowing that he is perfection, knowing that he is sinless, and in him is absolutely no guile nor sin. Some would say, well, maybe could Jesus have sinned if he chose to? Well, maybe it was in him to sin, but he just made all the right choices. That's silly talk.
That's right.
That's foolish. Amen? That's heretical talk. That's heresy. In him was no sin. Isn't that what the book says? There was no sin in him. There was not some struggle going on in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ that, well, what should I choose? No. Amen?
Right.
Are you with me?
Right.
That's important that we understand that and know that. I wish I had the time to develop that, but I have no doubt that this man of God teaches those important doctrinal truths in this church. If you're faithful in church, I know you'll hear them here. Right? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Prop up your pastor. Stand be. Amen? I know that if you're faithful, you'll hear those things taught and preached here. So I won't take the time for that. But look at Mary's words here. Look, please. Verse number 5. And his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now, how fitting are Mary's words for us today? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. How important that we all should learn the lesson that it is not merely the hearing of the gospel which brings blessings to our heart, but also obedience to the gospel. Amen. Obedience to the gospel. The Christian, you and I tonight, could do no better than to adopt these words as a motto for our life. Whatsoever he saith unto me, I'm going to do it. Huh? Now, wouldn't that be a simple way to live? Kids, you look up here. Wouldn't that be a simple way to live? Whatever Jesus tells me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Amen? And moms and dads, when we teach our children, and by the way, let me say this, that if we don't teach our children to respond to us, how on earth are they going to learn to respond to their Father in heaven? We've got to help them to respond properly. But boy, we want our children to do what we say. And largely because, one, we want to protect them. I teach my children, if you don't do what I say, I can't protect you. And isn't it true that so much of what God teaches us in His Word is to protect us? The Bible says Jesus came to deliver us from this present evil age. He wants to protect us. He's a wonderful Father that wants to protect us, but also, as a father myself, I tell my children, I want you to have the blessings, I want you to enjoy peace, I want you to enjoy my favor, and if you don't do what I say, you can't. Now the same is true of God our Father. If we want to enjoy His favor and His blessings, and we know this to be true, if we've been saved very long and read our Bible, we know that many of the promises of God, they are conditioned upon our obedience. Come on. They're conditioned upon our obedience. Even the very mere fact of being able to go to heaven is conditioned upon obedience. Say, preacher, wait a minute, you're talking about works. I'm talking about obeying that command in John chapter 3 that says you must be born again. Is that a command? I say, is that a command? Sure, it's a command. And that's what it means to obey the gospel. To obey the gospel. Boy, what a great thing to think about and to do and to make our motto in life. Whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to do it. Can I encourage you? Where'd my pledge thing go? Where'd it go? It's gone. Preacher took it. Nope, that's not it. That's all right. You got your covenant card. Is that what it's called? Your missions covenant card. You got your missions covenant card. Can I encourage you that if you have not yet already decided to, can I encourage you that you just take that thing out, look at it tonight when you get home, even tonight during the invitation. Can I just encourage you? Could I kind of echo the words of Mary, the mother of Jesus? And could I just say to you tonight, whatever he saith unto you, do it. Do you know what will happen? Miracles. Miracles will happen. Let's look at the story. Let's examine the story tonight. A problem emerges at the wedding. Brother Ferrari told us about a huge problem tonight, didn't he? Church. He told us, he described, and I want to tell you tonight, that even though I think we all can grasp to some measure the enormity of the problem, I don't think, even though some of us can grasp to some measure the problem, but I don't think any of us can grasp the enormity of the problem. I don't think even Brother Ferrari can grasp the enormity of the problem. We can't. Can we? We cannot begin to grasp the enormity of the problem in Thailand, of northern Thailand, where there's hardly any light of the gospel. We can't begin to grasp the enormity of the problem. There's an enormous problem, isn't there, church? There's a problem. It's called darkness. It's called the fact that the gospel isn't getting to some people. And my, aren't you glad the gospel got to you?
Woo!
Aren't you glad the gospel got to your house? I told you last night how the gospel got to the Tharp house, and man, our life has changed because of the gospel. Aren't you glad the gospel got to you? Someone once said, the gospel is only the good news if it gets there in time. I told you last night about that letter that young lady wrote. Wasn't the good news to her. Come on. It was bad news to her. And it could have been, I should say, it wasn't good news to her parents because it didn't get there in time. It could have been good news to her had she believed. But oh, what an enormous problem that is before us. But you know what? God has a solution. Pastor Zawadzki, gifted, dynamic, charismatic man, he doesn't have a solution. Brother Ferrari, Brother Hernandez, Brother Correa, wonderful men of God, surrendered their wives, their families, precious servants of God. They don't have the solution, but God does. God's devised a plan, hasn't he? Let's look at the story quickly. There's no wine. Say, well, what's the big deal? Not a big problem. And possibly not a big problem in comparison to the enormity of the problem that we've heard about in Argentina. Perhaps no. But, you know, it's maybe we could look at it and say, you know, it's just a pesky little problem. And perhaps it may. And it may seem small to some. But, you know, when you're in the midst of some problem and when it's your problem, it's a big deal. Come on. It might be small to some others. And you know what? The problem of the gospel of these two churches in Mendoza not possibly having a pastor and not, that might not, you know what? That's not a problem that affects your daily life. But I guarantee it weighs on that man's heart every day. Sure it does. I guarantee it weighs on his. And I can assure you that it weighs on the heart of God. It weighs on the heart of God. This pesky problem may seem small to some, but you know, it's a problem. And the Bible tells us that Mary, she's aware of the problem, she knows about it, and so what does she do? She doesn't, I love this part, she doesn't go to the disciples. She doesn't go to the preacher, she doesn't go to the pastor, she doesn't go to the church council, she doesn't go to the church board, she doesn't go to the mission board. She goes to Jesus. She goes to the one that she knows he can do something about it. Are you with me? She knows he can do something about this problem. And listen, church, there's only one who can empower us to do something about the problem that's before us. And it's a problem to get the gospel around the world. I don't know about you, but I don't have the ability. I don't have the sense. I can't go to Argentina. I can't go to Thailand. I can't go to Ireland. I'm willing to go. God hasn't called me, but I can't be in the will of God in Central Lake and go to Argentina at the same time. But you know what I can do? I can follow God's plan and I can give so that the Ferraris can go in my stead. That's the wonderful plan of missions. And all we've got to do is do it. Do it. I'm not trying to be a cheerleader tonight. I don't really have the look. But I do sure want to let you know that, man, there's a plan and we just got to work it. We've just got to work it. We've got to work it. God has come up with a plan. Here, let's look at the advice given. At the advice given. Mary says, whatsoever he saith, do it. You know, if we want, and let's just make this personal. Let's just kind of get this into our personal life real quick. You know what? We've all got problems, don't we? Can I just get personal with us? We've all got problems. And can I tell you tonight that it doesn't matter what your problem is, how pesky, how little, or how huge it may be. The answer is in the midst of our problems, we've got to follow and do what God says. Amen. We've got to do it. I told you two nights ago about that foolish decision when I was in Bible college. And I decided not to tithe on a chunk of money that I got from an employer that owed me money. I didn't have the time to fill you in the rest of the story. But after my dad hung up on me, remember what he asked me? My dad asked me, I said, Dad, I can't pay my bills. I can't get a job, Dad. Da, 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 da. And my dad said, have you been tithing? Well, Dad, you don't understand. I said, have you been tithing? Dad, I said, have you been tithing? And I said, no, sir. Well, then don't whine to me. And he hung up the phone. He hung up the phone. So I sat with my wife and I said, honey, I said, we're going to have to tithe on this money. And I scraped together the last bit of money I could find. And man, I'm going to tell you, I got it together and I tithed on that. I put it in the offering plate, scared to death. Faithless. No faith. I did it because I thought, well, can I just be honest with you? I did it because I thought, well, Pastor, I've tried everything else. I've begged for a job. I've done everything I can. So I thought, well, I guess I'm just going to go have to do what God says, and maybe that'll work. We're just so blockheaded, dumb, stupid, aren't we? Am I the only one? I mean, we just are. We're just so blockheaded sometimes, so thick-headed. And I mean it. That was my attitude. I didn't do it out of love. I didn't do it out of excitement. I did it with fear and trembling. And I thought, I don't know how I'm going to feed my wife. I don't know how I'm going to feed my little boy. But okay, God, you said to do it, so I'll do it. Boy, within 1 week, I had a job. I had a job making $1,200. Now, this is 22 years ago. I had a job making $1,200 a week. You know what I was doing? I was a debt collector. It's the truth. It's the truth. I worked as a debt collector. And God opened that job up, and up until I graduated, I made anywhere from $1,000 to sometimes up to $1,500 a week. And God did that. I could never have done that. But just do what he says. Amen. Just do what he says. Amen. Whatever problem you've got going on in your life, hear me. Listen, I know I'm trying to get to missions, but you know, if you've got a problem in your home and your marriage, man, just do what he says. Good. If you've got a problem going on with your kids, just do what he says. If you say, well, I don't know what he says, see this man of God, and you know what I know he'll do? He'll tell you exactly what God says. And if he doesn't, don't listen to him. I say that to my own people. Hey, if I can't show you in the Bible, then fool you on what I say. Do what the Bible says. That's what we need. We need the book. We need to be people of the book. Do what it says. You say, Pastor Tharp, do you always do what it says? No, I got the same problem you've got. And every time I don't do what he says, I make a mess of things. But every time I do what he says, miracles happen. Huh? Come on. Every time I do what he says, God wrought miracles. He does. Every time I do what he says. So I'll tell you, Mary's advice here is so simple. It's so simplistic, and yet it's so profound because it's so hard to always do what he says. Amen? You know, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Go with me over to, time flies when you're having fun, amen. Would you go to 2 Corinthians? In fact, keep your thumb, your finger, my dad used to say your earlobe. Keep it in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, would you please? Maybe your ribbon from your Bible in there. We're going to be back and forth from John 2. Church, don't get nervous. 8:30 comes. That's my time. 8:30 comes. I'm going to be done. Things are going to be turned over to Pastor, all right? So, and I'd like for some of you to be a witness to that so you can tell my church family and my church people that that happened, okay? But look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse 3, would you please? For to their power, now we know this is the passage of Scripture that's oftentimes referred to as faith promise, the mission offering, the over and above offering, over and above the tithe. I remember a guy coming to me one time in the church I pastored. I've been pastoring in northern Michigan now for 17 years. And a fellow come to me, and he was from another type of independent Baptist church. And he said, you know, he said, I don't like this whole faith promise thing. I said, well, brother, what's the problem with it? He says, I just think it's a gimmick. I just think it's a gimmick, and I just think that, you know, you just do it in order to fleece God's people of more money. I was taken aback. I thought, what in the world am I going to say to him? And then he said to me, as I'm paused and I'm waiting, and I was young in the ministry, and I thought, boy, I don't know what to say to him. I wanted to say, you're an idiot, but I couldn't do that. I'm just being honest, you know. I'm in the pulpit. I better be honest. But he said that to me, and then he said to me, he said, the words faith promise aren't even in the Bible. I said, you're right, brother. I said, the word rapture isn't in the Bible either. Are you going to be part of that? Preacher got it. But, you know, it doesn't matter what you call it. It doesn't matter what label you give it. It doesn't really matter. I mean, within some measure, it doesn't matter what the semantics are or whatever. But what does matter is that you... Here, what's our two words?
Do it!
Do it! It does matter that you do it.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And the clear principle in the Word of God is that Paul was teaching to the church at Corinth was that this was something that was an offering. And here's the key. Look at it. Verse number 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were, now say this with me, church, together, they were willing of themselves. Willing of themselves. I talked to us Monday about the fact of what our motivation should be for giving. It ought to be love. It ought not be duty. It ought not be, well, I have to. It ought not be, well, man, I'm going to give so I can get. It ought to be just because we just can't do enough for Him. He is so wonderful. We just can't do enough for Him. He's been so good to us. Come on. It ought to be out of love that, listen, God's been so good. The goodness of God, it ought to draw us. It ought to woo us. It ought to beckon us. It ought to amaze us. And so we see here, why? Well, we need to do it because, well, we just need to be willing of ourselves. That's the key, isn't it? Now look back to me with, look back please with to John 2. John 2, verse number 7. So Mary says, whatever He tells you to do, do it. Now look at verse 6. I'm sorry, and I said verse 7, but look at verse 6. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Now, based on what I could look up, that's anywhere from, I don't know, 20 to 25 gallons of volume of some Bible theologians. I'm not one. Maybe a little less, a little more, but a pretty good amount of water, all right? That's the point. A pretty good amount of water, 20 to 25 gallons, 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And I like this verse. I like this phrase here. And they filled them. This is how I like my coffee served.
Yeah.
They filled them, say it with me, church, up to the brim. Don't you like that? You know what I see in that verse? Here's what God has said to me. I don't want to be a half-pot Christian. I don't. I don't want to be a half-pot Christian. I don't want to be a half-cocked Christian. I want to be a full-to-the-brim pot Christian. Amen. I do. Now, some of you carnal people are thinking about pot. You're thinking of something else. But I'm talking about a water pot. All right? I'm just trying to see if you're awake, all right? But Jesus commands, here's the key. Man, look at this. This is so important. Jesus commands them to take of what they have. He tells them, all right, you've got these stone water pots. Can I remind you that the Bible says that for the purifying of the Jews, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, you know what those things were used for? They weren't used for drinking out of. They were used for washing the Jews' feet. That's what they were used for. And so Jesus doesn't tell them to go get some wine flasks. Now, we're not going to have a discussion about the wine. And, you know, every drunkard knows these verses. Huh? I've had people leave my church because I call someone who drinks a drunkard. And I'm not trying to hurt you tonight. But can I just remind you, stay away from that junk.
Yes, sir.
Leave it alone.
Amen.
I said leave it alone.
Amen.
Leave it completely alone. Leave that beer alone. Leave that glass of wine alone. Leave that whiskey alone. Bless your heart if you have any sense at all. Leave it completely alone. And all God's people said.
Amen.
Because that's not what Jesus had made, and that's not what was being done. Amen. It wasn't some fermented, controlling substance. Amen. Jesus didn't make that, and I won't spend any more time on that, but it's important to note that He told them to use what they had. Now go with me to 2 Corinthians. Let's go back there. I told you to keep your ribbon there, and I didn't follow my own advice. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, but I'm going to put my ribbon there now. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Now let's look at verse 12. Now here again, here's the basis, here's the premise, here's the motivation for doing it. What must there be first? A what?
Willing.
A willing mind. A willing mind. It is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So these servants, they weren't told by Jesus, now I want you to go and I want you to go find some beautiful, wonderfully crafted wine flasks for me to use. No, he didn't tell them that. Jesus, I believe, saw what they had at hand and he told them, take from what you've got and I'm going to do something amazing with what you have available. Are you getting it? I'm not trying to be rude and trying, but are you getting the message here? Getting the gist of the principle here? Our command regarding supporting of missions and giving to missions, missions covenant, faith promise commitment, I love missionaries giving. I love the missionary offering, whatever you want to call it. But what God is saying here is, he's saying to us in that verse, take it out of what you have. I'll never forget a man coming to me one time and he said, Pastor, he says, I'm going to give $50 a week to missions, and if God gives it to me, I promise to give it. Now that man misunderstood missions giving. Because missions giving is God telling us, it's plain in the verse, isn't it? That it is according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So the principle, dear church, is, and I know you must, I'm certain that you already know this, but boy, we've got to build on the simple spiritual truths of the Word of God that serves so much as the foundation of our stand on truth, doesn't it? Those simple things. There's nothing pretty about a piece of cinder block, but I want to tell you something. It has a purpose. Amen? I'll never forget, I've been building my own garage for 3 years. 3 years I've been building my own garage, doing it debt-free, doing it all myself. Well, I used to lay block 20-some years ago, but, you know, I'm not a 20-year-old some young man anymore. And so I decided, well, I'm going to pour my own footing, and I did all that and got my footing set. And I had a man in my church. He said, Pastor Tharp, I'm going to help you build your... So I started setting that foundation and got it out of whack, you know, and it was like this. Not that bad. Don't laugh at me. But it was like a parallelogram, you know? And I mean, so by the time I started to lay my block, my block was square, but the footing wasn't. And so the block was kind of veering off the edge. And man, that foundation's important. It might be a simple thing. And you know, a blockhead can lay cement, but it's got to be laid out right. Huh? The simple truths of the Word of God are very similar to that. We've got to get that right. Because if we don't, all that we build upon, well, it's going to be problematic. Yeah. We've got to get that right. And I'm not trying to say that you understand, I think, the principle there. And so this simple truth is that God says you take it out of what you have, not out of what you have not. So see that? They used what they had. I want us to notice, number two, that Jesus commanded them to fill the pots. Look at verse 7. Fill the water pots with water. And I love it, man. They did what? Exactly what he said, didn't they? Huh? The miracle happened because Jesus said, here's what I want you to do. Here's how I want you to do it. Here's what I want you to use to do it. And we're going to see the miracle in just a moment. I want us to point out here that there's no record here in the scriptures that they asked, well, why? There's no record that they said, well, Lord, these are water pots. These are water pots. We use these for washing feet. They're really not conducive to wine. They're not. No. You know why? Because a servant doesn't do that. Huh? Amen? I used to manage a small manufacturing company. I had people that worked for me. And you know, I might have been a brute. I might have been but if I told a guy to do it, if I said, hey, I need that cut over there. I need this done. And you know what? If I told him to do it, I'm their boss. I sign their check. I pay them. You know what I expect them to do? Kids, come on, those of you who aren't working a job yet, do it. Amen? If you don't want to do it, can I just get personal here? I don't know how many union people are in here, but you know what? If you don't like them, if you don't want to do it, go find a different job! Because if you hire in a place and you agree to terms of a job, do that. That's Bible. Yeah. Amen. Now I just made a bunch of enemies. You can hit me in the nose if you want to after church, all right? But isn't that Bible? That's biblical principle. We've got to live by biblical principle. We've got to do it. The only way to, that's because why? Jesus said it, do it. Amen. So There's no record they ask why. There's no record they said, well, Lord, okay, we'll do it, but we want to know what you're going to do. That's what we do sometimes in this matter of faith promise or missions covenant giving or missions giving. We say, okay, Lord, all right, I'll do it. I'll get my wallet out and I'll give, but you better help. You better fill it back in. That's not what a servant does.
Amen.
Servant says, Lord, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. Huh?
Good.
Okay, Lord, I'll give. All right, I'll fill that paper out and I'll give. But Lord, you better keep your word. Now, we might not say that. And we might not be so animated. I'm being a bit exaggerative for the emphasis sake. But you know what? Sometimes isn't that sometimes our attitude and our heart? Here's the promise. Do what he says, and he'll do what he promised. It's a simple principle. There's nothing profound in that. Do what he says, and he'll do what he promised. Do you believe that tonight?
Amen.
I say again, do you believe that tonight?
Amen.
Do what he says, and he'll do what he promised. They filled it to the brim. You know what? May God give us at Loomis Park Baptist Church. May God give us up at Bible Baptist Church. May God give us missionary brothers. May God give us pastors and preachers. May God give us a heart that says, Lord, whatever you tell me to do, I'm just going to do. A servant's heart. Amen? So Pastor Tharp, do you always have a servant's heart? No, I don't. But oh, how I want to always have a servant's heart. Always. Listen, make a decision. Make a decision tonight that you're going to go all the way with him. You're not going to be some half-pot Christian. You're going to go all the way to the brim. Huh? If God lays on your heart to give $50 a week to missions, you say, man, that's a lot of money. Listen, I remember when I was there in my life too. And by the grace of God, my wife and I, over the years, our missions has grown and has gone well beyond our tithe. Well beyond our tithe. And listen, God wants to grow your faith. You might be no faith tonight. You might be that little faith. You might be great faith. But wherever you are, just don't stay there. I'm not busting your chops because maybe you haven't had any faith and you haven't been giving. Maybe you haven't even been given the tithe. It takes faith even to give the tithe. Come on, it does. Man, I'll tell you, sometimes I put that check in the offering plate on Sunday and I think to myself, man, I could buy a Valkyrie with that. Say, that's so carnal. I know, you pray for me. I got problems. I'm messed up. I got problems. But I'll tell you, sometimes I do. And God, the Holy Spirit says, that is not yours. You can't covet that. It's mine. And I say, yes, sir. Come on. Let's just get real tonight. Huh? That's the truth. Make a decision, you're going to go all the way. You're going to just, and if God tells you put $50 down on that, listen, do it. If God puts on your heart to put $100 a week down on there, do it. And do it. Meaning, follow up with it. Do what you promise. Do what you covenant to do. Notice now he says, oh, I'm out of time. Verse number 8, draw out now. He saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And what'd they do? They did it. Amen. They did it. Man, somebody give these guys a bonus. Somebody give them a Christmas paid vacation. Somebody give them a, you know, somebody give them an advancement. Somebody give them a promotion. They did it. Sometimes we think, oh, that's so wonderful. It's the reasonable thing to do. Do what he says. Draw out now and give. Notice verse 9 and 10. On the rule of the feast, it tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. But they knew what was going on, didn't they? The governor of the feast, I can only imagine those servants, can't you, Brother Ferrari? They're thinking to themselves, oh boy. Boy, I'm probably going to get in a lot of trouble when I draw this water out of this water pot. And people are going to be wondering, what in the world are you guys doing serving this water? Can you imagine their trepidation? Can you imagine their apprehension? And I know sometimes, man, we put that missions offering in the offering plate, and I wonder if Brother Ferrari's going to use this use it for the gospel. I wonder if it's going to accomplish anything. I wonder. Listen, it's God's, and it's in God's hands, and God will see to it.
Amen.
You've got to, by faith, give that.
Amen.
Oh, it's so important we get a hold of that. Notice the Bible says, verse 10, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of what, church?
Miracle.
What?
Miracle.
Miracles. The miracle. The miracle of change. The miracle of transformation. Well, it only happened because somebody followed some good piece of advice. And they just did not what Mary said. They did what the King of Glory said. They did what the miracle worker. Mary was no miracle worker. She was just a woman. But Jesus was God. And he took, and oh, there's so many stories in the Bible that can parallel this. The lad and his lunches and so many. But here, they took of what they had. They did what the master commanded. They followed through. They went all the way, not half pot, all the way, filled to the brim. Amen? They went all the way. They did everything that he said. Oh, let's not be like Saul. I've obeyed most of what the Lord commanded. No. Let's go all the way with God. Church, let's go all the way. There was an infidel in a public place ridiculing the miracles of the Bible. He said, who ever heard of Jesus turning water into wine? A man known by all the people said, sir, I can say something. He said, say on. He said, sir, I don't know much about the Bible. I don't know much about that miracle. I don't know if Jesus turned the water into wine or not. But I'll tell you what, a few weeks ago, Jesus saved me. And if you'll come to my house, I'll show you where Jesus turned whiskey into furniture for my children, turned booze into clothes for my kids, turned wine into grocery for my family. I'll tell you, and I'll show you how Jesus changed my life. I don't know if he turned the water into wine, but he sure changed me. You know what? If we'll do what God says in this thing called giving to missions, if we'll just do what he says, we'll see lives changed in Mendoza, Argentina. We will. We'll hear about amazing things that God does. Quickly, we support a missionary. He's a man I went to school with. His name is Hani Deco. You guys support Hani? Hani's a sweet, sweet servant of God. Wonderful. Oh, and he and his family are over there in Beirut, Lebanon. How'd you like to be in Beirut, Lebanon? I don't know of any missionary of his kind that's over there. I get emails. Honey and I email back and forth. And he emailed me about several Muslims that he personally led to Christ. And how that they are just absolutely on fire for God. And I thought to myself, man, what a wonderful joy and blessing that I got to have just an infinitesimal part in that miraculous thing. If you give to missions, you get to be part of things like that. Father, thank you for the